The first thing it's my honor to do is to present Crystal, on behalf of the Life Center, on behalf of the district, a certificate. The certificate reads, in recognition of outstanding missionary giving for the year of 2025, certificate of achievement issued to the Life Center, Kamei, Idaho, for $11,506 in total missions offerings for the year, first place in the district. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. This is something you guys have accomplished, first place in the district. Amen. Now when we can get first place in the nation... So we got some big shoes to fill, right? Praise the Lord. So I'm going to turn it over to Crystal and let her tell you about our missions program. And
thank you. You know, this is, it takes everybody to do this. And just praise God that we have been giving. And this is even only a portion of what we've actually given, because there's lots that you have given that's not through the district. So I just praise God for that. So if the team from Montana, that went with me to Montana, would come up, we're going to do a presentation. I had an awesome, awesome team this year. There were nine of us, which is the most we've had for a while, and it just was such a blessing. It was just incredible. It was incredible what God has done in our lives as well as on the mission trip. So first we'll start with a slideshow that Caleb was so nice to fix for us in a very short time, because we just got home on Wednesday. So Jeanette, if you want to go ahead and start that. Well, while it's coming up, I'll share a little bit. You know, some verses that the Lord really brought to us and kind of was over this whole mission was the fact that where it talks about three cords are stronger, and that if there's two, when one falls, the other one can pick them up. Or if you're in battle, whatever, if there's two, it's always better. And, you know, that is a matter of unity. And that's what we had. This team was, I think, maybe the most unified team I've ever taken. And God just did wonderful, miraculous things. And not only unity among us, but there was unity with Alyssa and her group that we went to go over there and see. So while we're waiting for that to come up, we're just going to start. I told them to just share what God told them to share about our trip, and I'll start with Nana. Nana went with us, and this is Caleb's sister, in case she isn't here most of the time, but she has gone on mission trips with me a lot, and she actually is on her way to Greece, or in Greece, so she sent it to me, because I told her she had to have something, so this is from her. When I was 13, my mom forced me to go to a missions trip to Montana. 5 years later, the highlight of my year, every year, I've gone. Sometimes in life, you feel like you literally have nothing. But each time I go there, God shows me that everything in my life is a privilege. A roof over my head, food in the fridge, and a community filled with love for each other. So many people in the lame deer community don't have those things. In short, I just want you all to remember that everything in life is a blessing, and we should all thank God for everything He has given to us. Amen. Okay, so we're ready. Lame Deer 2026, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Next slide. I don't know if you can make that bigger or not. So on the side on your left, this is inside of Alyssa's church, and we were doing work and cleaning there. The side on the right is with Alyssa's. She has four foster children that she now, as of a month ago, she has permanent custody of all of them, which is like a miracle because she is white and they are native, and they normally do not like whites to foster their kids, but she has proven herself to love them so much that they've allowed her to do that. So that's Caleb at the top with two of them, and Non in the bottom with two of them, and they both greatly impacted the kids' lives. You know, we do a lot just through actions, not by words we say, and they showed a lot of love there. Next slide. There we go. Next slide. Okay, there you get to see them a little bit up close. Pouring into those kids' lives. And that's a lot, you know, that's one of our main missions over there, is to pour into Alyssa's family. Because it's hard to be on the mission field. You just give out and give out and give out. And it's really good to be poured back into. Okay? Next slide. So the first Sunday that we were there, we went to church with Alyssa, and then we provided a meal for the community. And I don't know how many came, but there were lots. We went through a lot of hot dogs. So this is, we served it, so that's Clay and Penny up there helping serve, and there were lots of others too, and then Stephen helped cook the hot dogs. And over there, whenever you do something, even if it's for your church but you're outside, you will automatically get the community. Anybody that goes by, they just stop by and come in to eat. Next slide. So this is part of that same day. There were all kinds of things for the kids to do. They gave out water balloons, had water balloon flights, and down below you can see we just put up a row of tables and chairs, and people just came and walked through, and it shows the community that they are loved. Next slide. So while we were over there, as well as reaching out that, we did a lot of projects for Alyssa to help her around the place. Stephen did a whole lot of weed eating and lawn mowing and all kinds of stuff like that. Next slide. And here we are again working on some of those projects with Caleb. Next slide. Another project that she had a furnace in the back of the church that she wanted walled off so it would look better and also to help contain the sound. So there are the guys working busily on that. They spent a lot of hours there too. Next slide. This is just one of the meals we had, breakfast, I think. We did it inside of where she has a little house at the side that she uses for youth ministry, and that's where some of us stayed, and that's where we ate our meals. Next slide. So there's always all kinds of projects. So putting together a pulpit on the top and on the bottom, just moving things and cleaning in. There's a little room there that keeps lots of stuff, so we helped get it organized and cleaned out and got rid of the old pulpit. Next slide. That's the new pulpit. She had it for a few years but didn't have anybody to put it together, so it was a great blessing to her to get that done. Next slide. So this is just to give you, this is probably one of the better looking shots of homes, but just to give you a little bit of an idea. We didn't take a whole lot of pictures because you have to be really careful doing that sort of thing. The houses there and what they live in, I'm sure some will share some of that, but people live in them with all windows and doors boarded up. They live in buildings that are half burned down, but that's still their home. Next slide. Here's some of the prep. We did two women's ministry nights, and we tried to make it look really nice and fancy, so this is some of the prep of the food. Next slide. So here's a picture of down of the ladies and then of the food that was prepared. We just wanted to make them feel seen and special. Next slide. So here's again, we took crafts, so if they could, two different crafts, so they could do. We made little crosses, and then we did little journal books with stickers and stuff. And kids, anybody could come. So we had kids through grandparents. But it was just a wonderful time for them. Next slide. There's some of them picking out stickers and what they wanted to do. And at each of these, we also had two wonderful ladies that volunteered to give a devotional. Penny talked about dry bones, and Dorothy shared her testimony. And it's just cool how God works things out, that the right things are said to the right people at the right time. And they did a wonderful job in ministry. Next slide. This is just, it says mess hall is currently closed. Opens up at 9 a.m. And that was just a joke for us. And some really thought it was for reals and turned away. Okay, next slide. So, there is sound on this, but I don't know if there's a way for you to make it. So this is Caleb and Nana singing the song for us that they sing. I can't remember the name of it, Caleb.
Oh, deep cries out.
Yeah. Some of you will recognize that. So they were just sharing with all of us. We had some really awesome times together as a team. And it was so good to see the youth and their enthusiasm. Okay, if you want to go to the next slide. Okay, Stephen found a step that was actually deteriorated underneath a little carpet. Fortunately, he brought attention to it. So then here they are. They had to take out the old step and put on a new step. Next slide. And there is it completed with a new step. And it's a lot of little things like this that it's really hard. So Alyssa's there by herself with four foster kids. And she does have an intern for a year that's there with her, who just graduated from Bible school, and she has another lady that comes alongside. But there's a lot to be done, so it's really good to just go and do all those little projects to help her out. Next slide. And this is our whole group. That's Alyssa and her helpers and her kids and all of us, and it was just a great time of all of us being united together. And it's you guys that sent us and gave us a place, the ability to go and to minister. And it's kind of like we're sister churches. We've been doing this for 5 years to create a relationship. She prays for us, and we pray for her. And the more of you guys that pray for her, the better, because it's like a spiritual warfare there. And we need to help hold her up in prayer to break the forces of Satan that would try to come in and dominate. So now we're just going to take turns sharing whatever's on their hearts. You want to try this one?
Okay. I guess I'll just start this by saying how quite proud I am of my younger sister, because she's been doing this more years than I have. And so just want to start with saying that, because it has been on my heart, just watching her serve and minister to these kids. And as for myself, it was in my prayers lately, it was a lot of confusion. I was asking God, okay, God, I had a really good church community up in Moscow, so why do you want me back here for the summer? And so I just prayed and asking him for wisdom. And then I got work off for this trip. I went on this trip, and I was just so incredibly changed. And my faith just felt like it took off. Like, I saw some really powerful things, things I won't forget, how these people were living and how those houses looked, and how those people also reacted to the love that we showed them. Something that really stuck with me is Alyssa's message on Sunday. She talked about being more than conquerors and living beyond victory. And she said we did that by God's love. And I really just think that this trip was just a picture of that. Just going and ministering to these people and showing them love. And that was just an incredibly powerful experience. And like I said, it's not going to be one I forget anytime soon.
Can you hold for a sec? Stephen has to have glasses now. Thank you for your patience, of course. This is not a 5-point sermon. What? I didn't hear. I wanted to put it in notes because I knew I'd probably mess up. So God really put the team together. We work together so well. I consider us the A team that God designed. You know, the oppression is real with, and even with the fighting within the tribe, and the, you know, they burn down buildings because they don't like somebody, and it happens. I was honored by being part of this team. We worked and handled so hard and well. The project got done in just 3 days. With 2 days of travel, God selected the members and gave us success. Things just got done. When you go on a missions trip, it builds friendships at a level we just don't see otherwise. I was challenged to make sure I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, as I'm still getting more used to where he likes me to operate. And with that, I have one thing I was supposed to tell you. While I was writing this down, God wanted to say a few things. So I am with you, my children. This is for this church. I am doing a new thing in your midst. You will be a lighthouse in your community. I love you, my children.
Amen.
I was impressed by the spiritual oppression. I spent 15 years in jail and prison ministry. And you can feel the oppression in those buildings, but it was nothing like we experienced at Lame Deer. Those people, if you don't work at the gas station, the hardware store, or the grocery store, there is absolutely nothing there to do. And so what happens is, they spend their time drinking and fighting, burning buildings because someone said something about that they didn't like. And that whole tribe, the Northern Cheyenne, need our prayers. Alyssa does have a few people that come in and help her from the tribe, but it's not an easy road for them either.
I just have words. if I talk too much, I'm just going to start crying. Might anyway. The first one is camaraderie. Getting on the van, getting all of our seats, singing songs together, praying for each other at the drop of a hat. Serving together. God used each of our skills, whether that be our tremendous cooks down there. And I have one word for you if you ever go on a trip. It's called tacos. You are sure to please with tacos. But they did a fabulous job. To the oldest of the group. To the very... to the youngest of the group that was fabulous with all of the kids and all of us in between. We each had a purpose, we each had a skill, and we each carried a love for those people. Oh, I thought I was just going to say a word. Support. And amongst all of that camaraderie, the support from each and every one of this group and Alyssa and the people that she had working with us during the dinner or the jobs that had to be done. It was supportive, non-judgmental, accepting, loved. We were then in turn able to give that back to the community. Overwhelmed, going on the tour and looking at these buildings and realizing that we have a third world country in amongst our United States. They don't know God. They know our great spirit. They know Mother Earth. But they don't know about Jesus Christ. This is a mission field right here in the next state. Thank you.
Well, I'm a little wordy. Before I left, the week before, I says, God, usually I go from a place of rest, but this year I am not going from a place of rest, and so I need you. And you know, God was there. He always, when we lack, he has abundance. And I was so refreshed by this ministry team. And there was lots of laughter, and it was just great. We had going in a van where we were all together, and the three of us in the back, we were told that we maybe said a little too much laughter and kept them awake.
No. I call them my joy sisters.
And then with the sharing time, one time we just asked, how does God speak to you? And you know, I don't think God spoke to any of us the same way. It was amazing. God uses who we are and his relationship with us, of how he talks to us and reveals himself to us. And that shows what a personal God he is. He created us, and he wants to know us individually, not as just a people group. And now I'm going to read. This is from The Girl Who Found God in an Orange by Dana Howard. And it was just a couple things that were read of her devotion. The day the orange found me. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, Psalms 34:18. A girl's reflections. I didn't expect anything from God.
Oh, and I cry.
That morning. My heart felt tired, the kind of tired that sits deep and doesn't move. Life has been heavy for too long, and I didn't have the strength to pretend otherwise. I sat at my kitchen table with an orange in my hand. I wasn't looking for meaning. I wasn't trying to be spiritual. I just needed something simply to hold. When I pressed my thumb into the peel, the fragrance filled the air, bright and warm, almost like it had been waiting for me. And in that moment, something inside me stirred. Not a loud voice, not a dramatic revelation, just a gentle awareness, I am here. I didn't hear it with my ears. I felt it in the quiet place inside me. The place where God whispers when I'm too weary to listen any other way. The orange suddenly felt like more than fruit. It felt like a reminder, a small, unexpected touch from a God who knew exactly how fragile I was. The color, the fragrance, the sweetness, the way it opened in my hands, it all felt like Him, gentle, patient, near. And for the first time in a long time, I breathed a little deeper. God wasn't far away. He wasn't waiting for me to be stronger. He wasn't disappointed in my weakness. He was simply near. I didn't know then that the moment would become a doorway, a way He would speak to me again and again through something so small, but He did, and it began with an orange. From the one who knows her, my daughter, I came to you gently because I knew how tired you were. I knew the weight you carried. I knew all the ache you didn't have words for. So I met you in a way your heart could receive, not in thunder, not in fire, but in something simple enough to rest in your hands. I have always spoken to you like this, quietly, tenderly, through the moments you overlook, through the ordinary things that carry my presence. You didn't find me in the orange, I found you. And I will keep finding you in small ways, in soft ways, in ways that remind you that I am not finished with you. I never will be. The sharing, when your story becomes someone else's nourishment. He comforts us so that we can comfort those in trouble. 2 Corinthians 1:4. A girl's reflections. There is something tender about offering someone a piece of your orange. It's small, simple, ordinary. But it's also intimate, a quiet way of saying, here, take what helped me. I didn't always believe my story could feed anyone. For a long time, I thought my life was too messy, too complicated, too broken to offer anything to anyone else. I thought healing had to be complete before it could be shared. I thought testimonies had to be polished before they could be spoken. I thought fruit had to be perfect before it could be given. But God kept whispering, give them what you have. Not the whole fruit, not the whole story, not the whole journey, just a piece. A moment of honesty, a sentence of hope, a breath of truth, a glimpse of what God had done for me. And every time I shared even a small piece of my story, something happened. Someone breathed easier. Someone felt seen. Someone felt less alone. Someone whispered, I needed that. I didn't realize that the sweetness God's placed in my life was never meant to stay with me. Fruit is meant to be shared. Your healing feeds someone else's hope. Your survival feeds someone else's strength. Your honesty feeds someone else's courage. Your tenderness feeds someone else's hurt or heart. And your story, the one you thought was too messy, too painful, too complicated, becomes nourishment for for someone who is starving for reassurance that God is still near. I used to think I had to be whole before I could help anyone, but now I know God uses broken fruit too. He uses the pieces. He uses the segments. He uses the parts that feel unfinished. Because what nourishes people is not perfection. It's presence. It's honesty. It's the sweetness of a life touched by God. And when you share even a small piece of what he's done in you, you become a part of someone else's healing. From the one who knows her. My daughter, your story is not just for you. The sweetness I placed in you was meant to be tasted by others. The strength I poured into you was meant to steady someone else. The healing I brought you through was meant to become a doorway to another heart. You do not need to be perfect to be used. You do not need to be finished to be fruitful. You do not need to be whole to be a blessing. I use the pieces. I use the cracks. I use the places you thought disqualifies you. When you share your story, you are not giving people your strength. You are giving them mine. You are offering a taste of my goodness, a glimpse of my faithfulness, a whisper of my presence. Do not hide what I have done in you. Do not shrink back from the sweetness I have placed in your hands. Do not underestimate the power of a single segment offered in love. Your story is nourishment. Your voice is medicine. Your honesty is healing. And I will use you to feed many. So I want each one of you to know today, you all have a story. You all have lives that God wants you to touch. In your brokenness, wherever you are in your journey, that's where you need to be right now.
Thank you. First, I just want to say thank you, Crystal, for leading us. Words can't describe the heart that she has, the compassion, the understanding, and the wisdom. This trip has been amazing, and I have loved getting to know each and every person on this team. I thought I had my four that you would, you know, the people that are going to carry you to the feet of Jesus, and that just even grew. Just pulling over, driving, just to pray with each other. The amount of times that we got together in the mornings, I loved those where we got to do devotions and pray and share experiences, and then scripture would lead us to a song that we would start singing, and just all of it. It's been a great experience. Before we left, you know, we were told about the spiritual warfare that we would, you know, that was there in Lame Deer, and it wasn't until we got there that you could just feel the presence of it just kind of weigh on you. And then the insecurities, because, you know, I stepped up and said yes to do a devotion, and that devotion turned into my personal testimony. And I started having insecurities about sharing my past, about sharing who I was. And I don't even know how to put it. This opportunity and experience I thought was, you know, what I was going to be sharing was supposed to touch somebody else to help them. And it was totally the opposite for me. My testimony actually was something that healed me. If it wasn't for this trip and this mission that we went on, I had clarity for the first time in my life of my past. It always felt like a double life that I lived from my childhood up into my adult life. And this trip gave me freedom in that. God used it. What she was just reading about too. I don't know how you just, what that part was, but that we're all broken, but we all have a piece in this too. Our story is going to help somebody else and heal somebody else. Yeah, that's all I have.
Well, before this trip, I've always had a heart for serving others. And I felt so broken and so unable to do that. And this team and this trip has shown me that each and every person can do that. I don't care where you're from, what you're doing, or where you're at in your relationship with God. God has a plan for you. He has everything for you. He can use you no matter what. And I am so thankful for this wonderful team that I have. It has drawn us so close together. And I just give God all the glory for all that he's doing at Lame Deer and what he's doing through Alyssa and what he's doing through the teams that visit there. And I'm just really thankful.
I think this one's on now. So God blessed us so much. And I would encourage you to talk even more one-on-one. There's so much that was not even shared. But to draw us even closer to Alyssa and her work. You know, I think God wants us to be like the three strands that make us stronger. She faces a lot every day. There's a lot of turmoil over there right now within the tribe. And this time of year, they do some of their Sundance ceremonies and everything. And she says every year, people die. It's just a big increase of death. And so I think we can come along as a church and break that, because it's a spiritual thing. It's spiritual warfare that's going on. And against the evil forces that are there. The people are lovely people. And they love, but they are under bondage. But God is greater than any bondage. But sometimes it takes people coming alongside to strengthen someone else up or to help fight them for them, because they don't have the strength to fight for themselves. So I know we as a team definitely are going to do that. But I'd like to invite you in to that same with us, that we can become even closer and fight spiritually for Alyssa as well as encouragement. If you feel like you want to send encouragement, she could use it. She does a lot. She is constantly busy. She has people coming to her house almost any time of the day for food, for gas, for counsel. I mean, just while we were there, they were always in and out. He lifted his arms up so that the battle would be won. And you could do that for her. You can pray for her and her four kids that the Lord will strengthen them up, and her two helpers that are there, because there is a work there to be done. God has his hand on that tribe. But Satan wants to keep them bound. But God is greater. So, join us in prayer. And thank you for sending us. It was a great team.
Praise the Lord. Does anybody think God is good? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, God is so good. I love seeing what he's doing through our church community. We have one more video, and you ready for that, Jeanette?
Hey, Life.
Nothing like technology helping you out, right? There we go.
Hey, Life Center family. Happy 4th of July. Happy 250th birthday, America. And just celebrating Independence Day this weekend and thinking about our independence and thinking about how sometimes we become too independent, especially here in North Idaho. And we forget that God is what we are supposed to be or who we are supposed to be dependent upon. And think about the passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, I believe. And Jesus starts off the passage with, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your body. And he ends the passage with, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And seek his righteousness first in your life. And I think about how often do we seek our own kingdom and our own righteousness and our independence instead of seeking the Lord and his kingdom and his righteousness in our lives. So as you celebrate this weekend, the great freedoms we have here in America, our independence, remember what God calls us to. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's getting late. My sermon's only an hour long. Praise the Lord. I love it when the Holy Spirit just takes over and does what he wants to do. Amen? Amen. But I want to give you a quick teaser because we're going to do this next week. If you turn your Bibles to the book of John, Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. We'll be looking at verse 32. These are the words of Jesus. I'm going to start actually with 31. It says, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him. Who's he talking to? Those that believed on him, amen? The Jews that believed on him. He's talking to us today the same way that believe on him. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We ask you, God, to illuminate your word today. Help it to light our pathway, Father, that as we walk on this earth, it will be the path that you chose for us. It will be the path that glorifies your name, Father. That, Lord, that our lives would reflect you in such a powerful way that it draws men, women, boys, and girls to your presence, Father, to seek your face and to experience the freedom that we experience in you. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And I've titled my message, The Cost of Freedom. And like I said, I know we don't have time to go through it all, but I want you to understand that freedom is not free. Freedom just isn't free. There's been, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs, there's been over 1.2 million men and women give their lives so that we can have the freedom that we have in this country. But more importantly, there was one that gave his life on Calvary's tree so that we could experience freedom in the spirit, so that we could experience freedom from the chains of sin. You see, we a lot of times we look at things in the natural, but Jesus did it in the supernatural. He allowed us to go from the bondage and slavery of sin to walk in the freedom of worshiping him even when there's oppression about, even at times when it seemed like the world was coming against the church and the church just couldn't prevail. It was a time when the men and women of God were able to walk in that freedom in the Spirit. If you don't believe it, just get a hold of one of the Fox's Book of Mortars and read it. It astounds me sometimes to see the men and women who have laid down their life so that we can have the gospel preached to us today. They didn't let it go. Can you imagine? And it's going on today. Can you just imagine if they were to walk in here and surround this building with soldiers? How many of us would stand up and say, send me, Lord, because I'm ready? But freedom isn't free. Freedom cost God everything he had. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." How many of you have heard me quote that scripture a few times? How many of you realize that's one of my favorite scriptures? I love that scripture. Because it tells me that God loved me so much that when I was unworthy, when I was his enemy, when I was not serving him, that he sent his Son to take my place. To take my place in the punishment of sin and allow me to walk free. Amen. Like I said, we're going to pick this up next week. I don't want to hold you guys too long. I'm afraid you might start throwing tomatoes at me or something. But let's all stand and close in a word of prayer. If you need healing this morning, if you need prayer, we're going to be here for a little bit. We'll be praying. So just come forward and pray. I know God's already done some things this morning, but how many of you know God's never finished? Amen. So if you missed out earlier, come get a dose right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that when we were chained and bound and on our way to an eternity in hell, that, Father, you looked down with love. And you looked over at your Son and said, "Son, I want you to go. Take their place so that they can spend their eternity with me." We thank you for that, Father. And God, we just ask you to allow that love to get so ingrained in us that it causes us to want to go and share that love to everyone that we meet, everyone that we know, and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power unto salvation. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Again, if you need something this morning, feel free to come forward. Our prayer team will be here, and we'll pray with you, anoint you. Thank you, Lord.